This is Radio Superior 1939, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1939. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear radio as it may have sounded in 1939. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes, station KUWS in Superior, Wisconsin. It's Monday, September 18th, 1939. This is Jack McKenna speaking. The 6 o'clock news is next with Leo Martin and the latest from the war in Poland. Rays in with sports. Harriet has community news, and we'll talk to a woman bus driver from Odena. All that and the best music from the 1930s. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Roth's. Dress shirts and blouses, just 59 cents each. And the new 1940 Philco radios are in and are on sale. Roth Superior's leading department store. Good evening, old man.
Good evening, Jack and listeners. Russia has entered the war against Poland. The Soviet Union has attacked from the east, joining the German army in an effort that may remove Poland from the European map. Now our shortwave radio roundup from correspondents covering the European conflict. We begin with Webb Miller from London.
London calling correspondent Webb Miller speaking. The Greek government will send a protest to the Kremlin over the attack of the USSR against Poland. Reports from number 10 Downing Street say this will in no way change the British resolve to fight for the freedom of Poland. Members of the British and French government considered the possibility of Russia entering the war on the side of Germany after the two countries signed a non-aggression pact August 23rd. It is not known if Britain and France will consider war declaration against the Soviet Union as they have against Germany. Meanwhile, the Battle of the North Atlantic is continuing with a major British loss. The Admiralty has announced that the aircraft carrier Courageous has been lost in German U-boat attacks. The carrier, built in 1916, had a complement of 1,200 men on board. In London, this is Webb Miller.
This is France. Wes Gallagher reporting. I am in the no-man's land between the Siegfried Line, fortifying the German front, and the Maginot Line fortress of France. Nazi troops are flooding into the Western Front. Steel-helmeted soldiers are arriving to strengthen Germany's defenses. It's a sign that Adolf Hitler believes Polish resistance is about to collapse. Russia's invasion shocked France, even though the nation expected it. Premier Edward de Ladier has not said if he considers this action an act of war against Allied interests. Mr. de Ladier just returned to Paris after a tour of the Western Front. Things remain tense but quiet there, with no fighting reported. Reporting from the Western Front, this is Wes Gallagher calling Germany. Come in, Max Jordan in Berlin.
This is the Third Reich, Max Jordan reporting from Berlin. The Nazi swastika has met the Russian hammer and sickle in the fallen Polish city of Brest-Litovsk as the Red Army smashes far into Poland. Ironically, Brest-Litovsk is the city where Germany and Russia signed their separate peace in the World War. German and Soviet officers are said to be fixing a line dividing Poland into areas considered under Nazi control and Russian control. The Nazi high command here believes Polish armed resistance is about to collapse. Nazi leader Adolf Hitler is preparing to release a six-point agreement to partition Poland for the fourth time in its history. This is Max Jordan in Berlin calling Romania. Come in, Elmer Peterson in Sarati, Romania.
This is Free Romania. Roving reporter Elmer Peterson traveling with the Polish refugees here. Polish leaders have abandoned their country to Germany and Russian invaders, fleeing for their lives across the border to Romania. They're headed for Constanza on the Black Sea, eventually sailing to become a government in exile in France. They evacuated Zielenskie in the southeast corner of Poland, just ahead of bombs from German airplanes. In fact, the bombers pressed their attack across the Romanian border, killing six residents in the village of Somik. Polish President Ignacy Mosicki and Foreign Minister Joseph Beck arrived here yesterday, but left for the Black Sea today. The flight of Polish troops and civilians into Romania has clogged roads for 12 miles. 10,000 automobiles are clogged in a snare of wagons, carts, and pedestrians with only packs on their backs. Polish troops are surrendering their weapons to Romanians to keep them from falling into German hands. Refugees say Russians invading from the east are met by many Polish Ukrainians who consider themselves part of Russia. Russian soldiers address locals as comrades. This is Elmer Peterson in Cernavodă, Romania, calling Poland, calling Warsaw. Come in, Warsaw. Come in, Virgil Pinkley.
This is Poland. This is Warsaw. Virgil Pinkley reporting. This is a city under siege. It is also a city in flames. Corpses on city streets have become commonplace. Bombardments by planes and artillery continue night and day. The only reprieve seems to come when the Nazi invaders take a lunch break at the noon hour. Historic Warsaw is in ruins. 18 days of explosions and flames have not broken the spirit of the Polish people, although it has come as a blow that their leaders fled the city. A crucial moment in this city's proud history came at midnight last night. That's when Germans expected the Poles to send two negotiators to no man's land outside the city limits. A German radio broadcast to Warsaw demanded the negotiators be sent to talk about evacuating civilians and foreign diplomats before the Germans stormed this city. In fact, it was a call for the surrender of Warsaw. No one was sent by the Poles, who insist they will continue their fight here. This city has been surrounded for more than a week. Food and medicine are becoming scarce. Essential services are not working. Yet some shops remain open, and people try to continue the resistance. Radio Warsaw remains on the air, playing classical music and giving news bulletins. I expect this will be my last report from Warsaw. Our ability to broadcast is in doubt. Most foreign correspondents and diplomats have evacuated this city. I give this final report with great admiration for the Polish people and their determination to save their freedom and their nation. Now, without the aid of France and Britain, we wish them Godspeed as they continue this battle alone. Signing off from Warsaw, Poland, this is United Press correspondent Virgil Pinkley.
We're told that the Germans are not guaranteeing the safety of anyone trying to leave Warsaw. Not foreign nationals, diplomats, or correspondents like Virgil Pinkley. President Franklin D. Roosevelt has invited Governors Alf Landon of Kansas and Colonel Frank Knox of Chicago for a White House parley. FDR is courting the two heads of the Republican Party in an effort to change the nation's neutrality law. Presidential Press Secretary Stephen Early says that both Knox and Landon accepted without hesitation. Both parties hope to put partisan politics aside during this crisis in Europe. Even so, Republican Senators William Borah of Idaho and Gerald Nye of North Dakota are planning to align Senate Republicans against revising the Neutrality Act. FDR wants to repeal the arms embargo to warring nations, but Senators Nye and Borah say that this will lead to U.S. involvement in the European war. But other prominent senator Republicans, Mr. Taft of Ohio, Mr. Austin of Vermont, favor the presidential repeal. The war in Europe is stimulating demand in industry. The depression-weary American economy is making a rebound. Automobile industry employment is up 50%. Steel orders in August are up 200%. Lumber and wheat prices are up, and clothing orders are increasing. Some business leaders say it's more of a fear of shortages than actual shortages that's driving this demand. Russ, news time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has a word from our sponsor.
Hey, Lou. I'm worried about old Virg Pinkley. You think he'll be all right?
Well, he's in a tough spot, but most war correspondents know the risks. Hopefully, he knows an escape route.
Yes, hopefully. Sometimes you've got to get while the getting is good. Speaking of getting good, Roth's Department Store is celebrating their Golden Jubilee. The men's department celebrates with a host of values in shirts, coats, dress shirts, the whole works. And listen to this, a free Sessions electric clock, a full-size quality-built electric self-starting clock housed in a beautiful walnut-finished case. 9 3/4 inches wide and 7 inches high. With each purchase of this new 1940 Philco floor model radio, It is a beaut, and of course, you know the Philco name. During our anniversary sale, you get both a $95 Philco radio and $7.50 for the clock for just $77 and your old radio. This is Jack McKenna now, speaking for Roth's Department Store.
A harbor of refuge between Superior and Port Wing is being pushed by the Superior Association of Commerce. This effort comes after a report by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers angered many people on the South Shore. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Association of Commerce President Clarence Scamser says we aren't going to take this lying down. Mr. Scamser is referring to a controversial Army Corps study which recommends safe harbors for several points along Lake Superior's North Shore in Minnesota and other coasts of Lake Michigan, but none for Lake Superior's South Shore. Mr. Scamser says there's an urgent need for a harbor of refuge between Bayfield and Superior. Cornucopia and Port Wing offer safe havens, but there are other extended areas where small craft might find themselves victim of the lake's wrath, especially between Port Wing and Superior. He says Cornucopia and Port Wing need breakwaters for protection, and safe harbors should be built at the mouths of the Brule and Amnacon rivers. He says if that happens, more deep water fishing will take place with increased tourist business. A public hearing will be held October 2nd at the Federal Courthouse in Duluth, Lou.
Well, thanks, Mike. A North Shore pioneer has died. The owner-operator of the passenger freight ship, the Winya, 61-year-old Captain Martin Christensen, died in a Duluth hospital after a brief illness. Known in this region as the father of the North Shore fishing industry, Captain Christensen plied the waters of the North Shore between the Head of the Lakes and Isle Royale since 1906. During those 33 years, he taught many a man fishing routes and usually was the first to start the fishing season. Funeral services will be at the Crawford Funeral Home in Duluth on Tuesday, with the Reverend Jordan Paulsrud officiating. Burial will be at the Union Cemetery. There will be a big to-do at the First Presbyterian Church celebrating the opening of the King Midas Flour Mill in Superior. That'll put dozens of men back to work. East End Association of Commerce President L.R. McPherson will act as Toastmaster, and Mayor Bryn Osby will speak. The Bayfield City Council says it's time to provide a place for historical items of the city and the county. It voted unanimously to ask the school district if it can display and store historical items at the public library. The Bayfield Press newspaper has offered to donate the first official census from Bayfield, dating back to 1856, and a copy of the first newspaper in 1870.
Wow, Lou, didn't you deliver that first newspaper?
I did not.
Well, thanks, Lou Martin. The best 90-year-old newsman anywhere. Pretty well preserved, too.
I'm not. I mean, I am, but I'm not 90. You know, just because I turned 33 the other day doesn't mean that I'm over the hill.
Or that you're sensitive about your age. Let's check the weather for this fine Monday, September 18th, 1939. More clouds and warmer, friends. Yes, another fine autumn day at the head of the lakes. Look for a low tonight of 48 degrees, with a high tomorrow about 70. And if you get a chance, you'll see some leaves changing along Duluth's east end up the North Shore. Let's jump, jump, jump into our big band music, friends. Here's that swinging new sound from the 1939 Hit Parade. This is Glenn Miller and his orchestra and Tuxedo Junction on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS. Thank you. Like that sound. Glenn Miller and his orchestra and Tuxedo Junction. You know, just a year ago, he wrapped up a big gig at the Glen Island Casino in New York and released his first recordings this year.
I have an announcement, if you don't mind, perhaps as a gesture of respect for your elders, Mr. One Year Younger Than Me.
You're not sore at me for mentioning that you've just hit the one-third century mark, are you?
The minister at the Indian Community Methodist Church in Duluth will speak at the Superior Teachers College Auditorium this Friday night. Dr. L. L. Dunnington will give a first-hand account of the conditions and the people in Central Europe. Reverend Dunnington just returned from the war zone. Admission is 50 cents. Tickets can be bought at Licknell Rexall Drug, Mel Greiger's Barbershop, and Ross Electric Company.
Here's something you'll like. It's got food. The annual harvest supper by the local farmers' union at Hawthorne Hall on Wednesday. Supper served from 5:30 until 8. 30 cents for adults, 15 cents for children, and there'll be dancing afterward. Now that sounds like a real great time.
Yes, and you'll be able to eat for more than 3 hours.
Whoops, someone's still a little ornery at the old Jackster. On with the music, then, to put someone in a better mood, perhaps. Here's one of the world's great ladies, man. Marie Chevalier singing Louise on the Martin McKenna Show on station KUWS.
Wonderful, oh, it's wonderful to be in love with you. Beautiful, you're so beautiful, you haunt me all day through. Every little breeze seems to whisper Louise, birds in the trees seem to twitter Louise. Each little rose tells me it knows I love you, love you. Every little bit that I feel in my heart seems to repeat what I felt at the start. Each little sigh tells me that I adore you, Louise. Just to see and hear you is joy I never knew. But to be so near you thrills me through and anyone can see why I wanted your kiss. It had to be, but the wonder is this. Can it be true someone like you could love me, Louise? Every little breeze seems to whisper Louise. Birds in the trees seem to twitter Louise. Each little rose tells me it knows I love you, I love you. Every little beat that I feel in my heart seems to repeat what I felt at the start. Each little sign tells me that I adore you, Louise. Just to see and hear you is joy I never knew. But to be so near you thrills me through and through. can see why I wanted your kiss. It had to be, but the wonder is this. Can it be true someone like you could love me, Louise? Just to see and hear you, oh, is joy I never knew. But to be so near you thrills me through and through. Anyone can see why I wanted your kiss. It had to be, but the wonder is this. Can it be true someone like you could love me, Louise?
That happy, bitter mood-getter into her music of Maurice Chevalier and his big hit, Louise, on station KUWS. Hiya, Ray.
Hey, Lou's a bit grumpy back there in the news tomb. You've been razzing him about his birthday?
I should have made him a cake instead.
Well, a little sugar helps catch... it's easier to catch people with honey. Or get people to do something with a little sugar. Or just be nice to Lou, Jack.
Holy mackerel, you're beginning to sound like me. With all... you even spill the coffee. Here's the one and only Rapid Ray Paulson.
Hey there, fans on the sporting news. Green Bay Packers fans are jubilant today as the National Professional Footballers hope to bring home a championship this season. Facing Ernie Nevers' tough Chicago Cardinals, Curly Lambeau's Packers went to the sky to bring down the Birds. Bay veteran Arnold Herber's 26-yard bomb to end Carl Molyneux gave the Packers the first points of the game early in the second period. And just minutes later, Fleet Packer end Don Hutson caught a pass from Herber and ran to the 5-yard line. That's where big fullback Eddie Jankowski smashed his way over the marker on 2 tries. Both scores were followed by extra points from Engebretson. Cardinal guard Thomas picked up a Packer fumble in the second half. That ended up in a score for Chicago. Smith kicked a 3-point field goal to make it 14-10 in the fourth quarter. But the 12,000 faithful fans saw the home team hang on in this league opener. Too bad for Ernie Nevers' boys. After all, they did spend the preseason practicing in Superior this year. The Superior Golf Club had its largest entry of competitors for its championship contest Sunday. 90 swingers turned out to knock that little white ball around. Barney Schneider led the pack with a round of 63, dethroning last year's champ, Professor Omer Loop of Superior State Teachers College. Jim Ellis and Robert Rooney tied for second with 66, followed by Tony Jaworski. Good rounds, gentlemen. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
They're going to go far now, those Packers. Oh, boy.
Don't start on me with that age thing. I'm more likely to listen to folks with a few years on them than youngsters who are so sure about everything. But you betcha, 1939 is going to be a championship year for the Packers.
You sports guys are so sure of yourselves. We've got the woman bus driver coming in next door, folks.
Hey, hey, I saw her outside. I would ride on her bus any time.
Oh, but she wears blue jeans and a men's shirt.
And she wears them very nicely.
Gotcha. On with the music, friends. Here's a twosome just for you-some. Two old favorites. You'll recognize them right away. On the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
Oh, Shenandoah, I long to hear you. Away, you rolling river. Oh, Shenandoah. receive you away. We're bound away, cross the wide Missouri, cross the
Shenandoah and My Wild Irish Rose by a new band leader. He's from the Dakotas, Lawrence Welk. I predict Larry will be around for a while. Hi, old buddy, old pal. Is that a gray hair I see among the red?
No, it isn't. There's nothing that you can say to me that'll spoil this fine autumn day, especially since I've had a chance to meet Miss Marjorie Lockhart of Odena in Ashland County. Good evening, Miss Lockhart. Thank you for driving all the way here.
It's not a bad drive now that they've paved Highway 2.
You're probably the first licensed school bus driver in the state of Wisconsin who happens to be a woman.
Well, you see, Mr. Martin.
Lou. My friends call me Lou, Miss Lockhart.
Well, then it's Marge to you, Lou. Put her there, buddy.
Whoa, ouch.
Oh, sorry, Lou. A slap on the shoulder is a sign of affection.
You can slap me any old time, any old where.
Oh, I hang out at the garage in Ashland. You pick up some tough guy habits. I even chewed tobacco for a while.
Now that's an attractive woman.
Oh, exactly. It was rather disgusting. I don't understand men sometimes. Oh, but I think they're more fun than women. Women are too reserved. They say it's a man's world. Well, it doesn't have to be. I mean, in 1936, I got a loan for a bus, painted it red, white, and blue like the law requires for school buses, applied for my license, and here I am.
But why do you want to drive a school bus?
You can call me Marge, Lou. Well, the kids needed a ride. I needed a job. I like kids. I like driving. So now I take 70 children over 65 miles on 3 different routes every school day. I've never had an accident, and I've never even been late. Oh, it's the cat's meow.
You're also a politician, I understand.
Say Marge, Lou.
Okay, Marge.
What happened to the suave and deboner Lou Martin we all know and love?
Darn right, Lou. After I graduated from Lawrence College, I ran for town clerk of Sanborn. I've been reelected twice, and I'm a part-time social worker in the Ashland County Relief Department. People make too much out of me being a woman.
Well, it's kind of hard to tell with you wearing pants and a shirt.
You can't tell that I'm a woman because I don't wear a dress?
Anyone can tell that you're a woman, Marge. I mean, among normal people.
I can tell. It's just that most women wear dresses.
Have you ever worn a dress?
No.
I'm not telling.
I mean, you have to wear a slip, And it's just not the smart thing to do when you're driving a bus.
So, Jack, what do you think about slips?
Well, Lou, they tend to bunch up around the hips.
Oh, I know. Isn't that the worst?
And, of course, if you wear a dress, you have to have stockings. And they can be a pain, too.
Oh, don't you know it, sister.
Once again, Jack, you've managed to sabotage a promising interview. Thank you, Miss Marjorie Lockhart of Sanborn, the state's only woman bus driver.
Well, now, if you boys are ever in my neck of the woods, just whistle. Old Marge will show you the sights.
Thanks, Miss Marjorie in blue jeans. On with the music, friends. Here's Henry Bussey and songbird Marion Holmes with Love Is Just Around the Corner on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS. Enjoyed the very fine music of Henry Bussey and Love Is Just Around the Corner with vocals by Marion Holmes on station KUWS.
Say, Jack, no, wait.
Jack.
Tell me you were just kidding about that dress and slip stuff.
Of course. That's ridiculous.
Thank you. I'm relieved.
I mean, I don't have the legs for a dress like you have. Well, that's it for tonight, campers. Coming up at 7 o'clock is Radio Theater, followed by Guy Lombardo and his orchestra, then Laugh with Blondie, Amos and Andy, and Lum and Abner. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same old place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, that is. And Lou doesn't lose sleep over who wears what around here.
You can just rock me to sleep tonight.
Oh, boy. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna, wishing one and all a good night.
When are we going to go to Ashland and see Marge?
Even in pants. Say, Lou.
Lou.
What should we wear when we visit Marge?
I know what you'd better not wear.
What?
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1939, a weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, John Munsell, Don Hansen, Joey LaPorte. All events reported on Radio Superior 1939 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.